Morning. Good morning. How y'all doing? Come on in the room. Come on in the room. Come on, y'all. Good morning. Oh, let me. I'm always like, boom. And then I forget my job. Hey, Jerrica. Hey, Carlos. Jerrica, I hope you're going to do virtual pillow talk with us. You too, Frida, that Saturday. Thank you. Hey, Patricia, hope you're taking time off too that Saturday to do pillow talk with us. Hey, Jasmine, how y'all doing this morning? Hey, Kirby, you too. Come on, Thea. Hey, Arnetta, good morning. So I'm sharing. Y'all do me a favor and go share. Y'all do the same. How y'all doing? Renee said, okay, here. Don't get used to it. It's only here for a couple more weeks. Y'all are probably like, wait a minute. We working through a process. We are on our transition back to my blonde. So, but gratefully, I have a beautician who is not just going to rip my hair apart and throw color. So we have slowly been coming from my dark raven hair to my blonde hair so that it doesn't damage my hair. Because at the end of the day, I need healthy hair. I'm not interested in having color and style and my hair is not healthy. So we have been slowly making transition. Yep, it's a whole process and I'm grateful for you. We have been slowly making transitions back to the blonde. That's a preach right there. It's a process. And I've learned so much. Like, hey, Shanquita, I'm really learning to be patient in the process and learning that health looks a little differently. Health looks a little differently. So I'm just taking my time, letting her take my time in the process. So if you see me in 30 different hair colors between then, it's only because we are lifting my hair slow so that we don't damage my hair. My hair is very porous and it holds color. So we have to do the things that's right. Hey, Eb. Good morning, Lynette. Good morning, Cherie. Thank you for sharing, Katina. Thank you, Deshae. Thank you, Michelle. How you doing? Hey, Jackie. Good morning. Did you share the video? I just shared the video. Just put the video on someone's hand. Some man is probably on here going, we don't know about your hair. That's okay. Y'all bear with us. This is what we do. This is what we do as ladies. Just stay with us. Bear with us. I'm still a woman. I'm still a lady. I was telling my kids that last night we were having conversation, but while we were having devotion and just talking to them about the human side of their mom and saying to them, like y'all got to remember I'm human. I'm not a superwoman. I'm not like I don't have it all together. I'm not going to always say everything right. I'm not going to always do everything right. You know, sometimes I have feelings. Sometimes I have emotions. All right. And so we don't make excuses for those things, but God still wired us as the feminine side of God. And I like to embrace my femininity. I don't want to show up as a person or operating as a person that doesn't understand the divine nature of how God creates us and how that plays into our process as well. I don't have to show up masculine. I don't have to show up. I get to show up divinely in the nature of how God created me. And I am very, very, like, I know who I am. Like, I know who I am. I know why God created me. I understand the purpose. Every day that I walk with him, I walk into more understanding of who I am. That is why I try not to trust my background. I try not to trust my past. I try not to trust what others have said unless I know that they are speaking to the person that God has called me to be. Like, I'm very adamant about who says what to me about me, because I don't need anything to be implanted in my thoughts and my mind that would, one, trigger trauma. Come on and help somebody this morning. That would trigger trauma. Second thing is, I don't want anybody playing anything in my mind that's counterproductive to what God is saying to me in this season. Sometimes people have been a part of your last season and will be speaking to your last season, and you in a whole different place. You need a whole different wisdom. You need a whole different regard. I'm somebody, I never ever would, because I was born with beautiful light brown sandy hair. Never in my life, sometimes blondish looking, never in my life would I have even ever thought, okay, Michelle, never would I ever thought that I would have been in a position or a place where I would color my hair. And then the Lord just started dealing with me about me, about the vibrancy of who I was. I used to always wear black or white. That's why I tell you, we could be married to something that fits a season, but doesn't need to walk into every season with us. And because we're married or committed to the principle, the thought process, we'll miss the divinity of God. I was talking to one of my mentors about that yesterday. I said, the Lord had me praying very specific. And I got to pray something for us. The Lord had me praying very specific for her yesterday, that her plans, like her process, doesn't make her miss the divine nature of God. Sometimes we can be so committed to the process that we will not even understand that it didn't work in that season. And God switched, if you sensitive enough to read things in the Bible, God switched things up all the time. Like, there's a particular scripture in Acts when the disciples knew they were supposed to go a different way, but the Holy Spirit was like, hey, don't go that way anymore, right? God will switch things up for your good all the time. Will you be sensitive enough to his voice? Focusing more on the presence than the process. That's deep. Focusing more on the presence of God versus the process. And sometimes I told her yesterday, I said, sometimes we build safe practices. We build safe practices that were applicable in one season, but we in a whole new season. I used to be very guarded about letting people in my life. But now where his presence leads me, I've understood that I've had to let my guard down and be open to the wisdom and the knowledge and the discernment of God. I got to talk with Judah this morning because he was on me about something. He thought I wasn't understanding what he was saying, but I was throwing a little bit of a tantrum because I thought it was sometimes, especially if I feel like I'm feeling the burden and the weight of a relationship. And I was throwing a little bit of a tantrum last night, and he was trying to tell me how to handle something. So I'm going to correct myself today and tell him I heard him. I understood what he was saying to me. I didn't negate what he was saying to me, but I was frustrated in the moment. And I've told you, when we operate in frustration, sometimes we cannot hear. Like, sometimes we cannot hear. And can I say something to Lynette? It's deeper than everyone, because that's become a thing we quote right now. Everyone can go to you in your new season. This is about moving in the presence and the will of God, and not even being concerned about who goes with you to your next season, because those people either be falling off or God will tell you to walk away. But understanding the nature of God. Yeah, Eb, that's it. Preparing us to recognize the season we're in so we can operate accordingly. I'm very careful of that statement, everyone can't go into your next season, because that has been an excuse the body of Christ has been using to walk away from people in offense. I told somebody the other day, and then I'm getting ready to pray for our finances because I need to. That's what the Lord told me. I told somebody the other day that we will We will mishandle relationships in this season because the enemy loves strife. The enemy loves contention. The enemy loves offense. The enemy loves anything that's going to break and tear down the body of Christ. He does not like for us to walk in clear communication. And so if I justify that, I can justify that, right? I will justify, everybody ain't supposed to go to with me in my next season. I'm in a new season. And but I will mishandle the relationships, even if the person is not supposed to go with me, how I handle the person according to a believer, according to grace, according to mercy, according to love, is still so important to God. Woo! It's still so important to God how I handle a person making master exits. Those things are still so important to God. And so I want to make sure always I'm not taking on offense. And I want to make sure also that we don't use everyday language, right? Absolutely. Nope. Everybody may not go into our next season. Some people might catch up to you later. Woo! Some people you may in advance, and only because you go first do they come. Some people will come back later. God has really dealt with me about leaving doors. I don't lock them, slam them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. God is really dealt with me often about leaving doors open in case somebody don't burn bridges. Well, don't me burn them and tear them down anyway. So I'll help you take that little piece and help you navigate through your relationships. But really it's understanding the seasons and the cycles that may be operating in your life. That's powerful. And when I understand the seasons and the cycles, man, Kelly, I had to work on my exit with people. I had to work on just shutting people out. Like I used to be, I could just shut. So if you felt uncomfortable, but I didn't recognize also that sometimes there were some people who were who were sent or assigned to groom me in grace and grow me in wisdom and mature me. There were some relationships that were assigned to me to mature me, right? And if you don't properly exit those relationships or you run from those relationships when you're uncomfortable, y'all know I'm a firm believer in saying comfort ain't got nothing to do with your process. We like to be comfortable. And when God puts us in an uncomfortable relationship, or whatever else, then we put, and thank you for being honest with that, Kelly. Thank you. We push ourselves or put ourselves in a place where as soon as we are uncomfortable, we will, because of trauma, because of the things that have gone on, as soon as we are uncomfortable, thank y'all for tagging and sharing. As soon as we are uncomfortable, our trauma assigns a way for us to handle the situation next. And our experience assigned a way for us to handle the situation next. So in my immaturity, how I used to handle circumstances and situations was just to shut you off or don't say anything else. And then God started dealing with me with, like, you need to grow up. Like, I have given you grace to handle every circumstance and every situation that you have ever been in. You need to grow up. You need to mature more. You need to involve me and bringing me in the circumstance and situation and ask me how to close the door. Ask me how to walk away from the situation. Because what we don't want to do is damage a person that's probably already damaged and messed up, especially if this is a volatile person in your life. What if, say some guy told me about somebody, what if you were the only person to show this person grace? What if you were the only person that showed this person the measure of God's love? What if you were the only person to extend God's hand to the person, right? Like to the person. What if you were the only measure of Jesus? And can I be honest with you? When you understand in your knowing, because I want to give you a little bit more of what I gave you yesterday, in your knowing, when you know who you are, you will get less and easily offended. When you understand the nature of God and the counsel and his kingdom, You will become less offended, and you will not misappropriately handle people connected to you, even if they are mishandling you. What are you? What if you are the representation of the grace? What are you, the representation of the mercy? What are you? That is why we are so big on this devotional and meditating our righteousness, because once you understand who you are, oh my God, to God, one, you know, he's not getting ready to, God is not getting ready to place you in a situation where you're going to be damaged. You might be stung, but you're not going to be damaged. God is not going to place you in a situation where you're going to be damaged. That's not the kind of God we serve. He's not putting you in something where, well, I sow that. No, God is not. God may, you might be proof. You might be tried. You may have to endure some things, but God is not putting you in a situation for you to be damaged, right? Yes, Eb, that's something I love to say. You may be the only Christ that someone ever comes to know. That's why you got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. I have had people, can I just be honest, and not life situations, because sometimes life situations pull us away from things. I have had people who have left and never said a word. Just stop talking. Like, just stop talking. And then all of a sudden we'll show up again to say something else. Like, they just didn't move out. They announced their entrance into my life. They announced, oh, I'm supposed to be connected to you. Oh, that I'm going to serve with you. They announced their interest in their life, but they never announced their exit. Well, wisdom says to me, something is going on with them that they don't know how to properly close doors. They announced their interest, but they never announced their exit. They never talked about why they disconnected. They never talked about what went on. Sometimes there are things that they're offended about that you're not even aware of. That's why you got to know who you are, so that when you're dealing with and handling people, you show up differently. They don't have to. I told Judah this last night. I hear you, Lord. He was very frustrated with something that happened with his basketball team. And Joe said something so funny. I said, Judah, you're frustrated because, well, you told me to walk in leadership. I said, leadership does not force people to respond, to act a certain way. As a leader, you are only planting seeds. As a leader, you are only planting seeds. You are frustrated because they will not do what you ask, because in your head, this is a no-brainer. And if they would just do this, they'll show up fine. I said, Joe, Judah, I said, but that is not the role of a leader. We let them eat the fruit off our tree. We plant seeds along the way, and then somebody else waters and somebody else gives the increase. Part of the problem with us in humanity is we want the credit for God. We want the credit for God. We want the credit for the increase. We want our name on something, and we want to control the situation. So I told him, I said, what you're frustrated with is completely out of your control. Well, they can be better than they are. I said, they may can be better than they are. They may can show up better than they are. But until they recognize and realize who they are, it doesn't matter. They got to get a revelation. And the best way you're going to serve them is that by Judah Johnson, Judah M. Johnson, Judah Michael Johnson, show up every day in the best version of Judah and set the example, set the bar. Stop focusing on what that you're getting frustrated. You're leaving this space frustrated because they won't bend how you see and say and move according. But, and I told him, I said, if you really understand who you are, Judah, if you really understood who you were in Christ, if you really understood how the kingdom works, if you really understand how God works, you are not responsible for anybody else. You're not responsible for them to get it. You're not responsible. Yeah, you're not responsible for them to get it. And Joe cracks a joke. He said, Judah, you might as well listen, because for some reason, this is the struggle on our family. And mama is absolutely right. And I told him, I know. I said, because I'm called to serve in women's ministry. I'm called into leadership, very well aware of who I am, my gifts, my talents, and all that other stuff to lend to the body of Christ. But what was taking me out was my inability to leave people in the season they're in and allow them to experience life where they are. But me, because I understand who I am, continue to show up in who I am. Romans 12, we've been talking about this. We've been flirting with it. We ain't got there yet. Romans 12, when he talks to us and he says, do not be conformed. Come on. And see, we always think that's just about sin. God has been dealing with me. He's like, it's not just about sin. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your body as a living sacrifice. We're going to talk about that. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age. That's what the CSB version says. Do not be conformed to this age. Do not be conformed to this age. Do not. This is an age that teaches you to overperform. This is an age that teaches you to compromise, to be in fellowship, to be in a relationship. I'm just speaking some spins inside. This is an age that teaches you work over grace. This is an age that does not want you to understand the divine nature of God. This is an age that has taught you to focus more on the relationship with people and even the relationship with yourself versus you focusing on the relationship with God. So he said, do not be conformed by this age. He said, do not be conformed by this age, the age that we're in. Yes, Malisha, values and customs that are adopted again and again and again and again and again and again, right? So we're not, he says, do not conform. He says, but what you're getting ready to have to do is you're not the person that you're working on, not the person that you're frustrated with. You are going to be transformed. You say me, I'm responsible for me. Come on, put that in the comments. I'm responsible for me. I'm not responsible for nobody else. I'm not responsible for my children. I'm not responsible for my coworkers. I'm not responsible for my pastor. And if I don't properly deal with me and I don't properly understand who I am and I don't have a resolve, this is why we are swayed to all strange winds and doctrines and end up in places we ain't supposed to end up in, right? I'm responsible for me and me only. I'm not responsible for Javen, Jaleel, Jermaine, Josiah, Judah, Lyric, Logan, Silo, Zayden, and Casey. As much as I would like to take what's inside me, inject it in them, and they understand the value of what I'm saying, it does not work that way. I am responsible for me. Nobody else. I'm responsible for me. And we are in a society that has taught us to perform tricks, to show up in relationships a certain way, to devalue God. I'm not going to even say myself because myself's second, but to devalue God and his ways and how he moves around and his anointing and his desire. My God, that I don't spend enough time working on me, but I spend plenty of time working on others. I ain't got it yet, but I'm trying to give it to you. I ain't got the faith yet, but I'm trying to give it to you. I ain't got the strength yet, but I'm trying to give it to you. I don't have a belief yet, but I'm trying to give it to you. And I'm burning oil that ain't even in the lamp. And I don't know about you. Can I tell you, just the other day, Josiah was driving his car and it kept cutting off, kept cutting off. I was like, dang, what's going on? So he went to get an oil change. The car is older. He went to go get an oil change. He goes to get the oil change. The man goes in and he says, there is no oil in the car. Shonda, no oil. He says, there's absolutely no oil in the car. Very little oil. Had no idea. He said he's going to have to be more conscious of the oil because he's working at higher miles. Man, you ain't catch that. You need to catch it. He said he's going to be conscious of the oil. He's going to have to be more conscious of the oil because he's working at higher miles. So he's going to have to check the oil in his car because he's working at higher miles, right? Josiah told me and said, Josiah came back and he said, Mama, he said, can I tell you something? Since the oil has been changed, the car has not cut off one time. Since the oil has been changed, the car has not cut off one time. I said, perhaps you were too low. And every time the Lord was cutting your car off, he was protecting your engine. Every time he was cutting your car off, he was protecting your engine. Because it would just die all of a sudden. I said, perhaps when your car would cut off, he was protecting your engine. You cannot give out, pour out what you don't have yourself. You cannot pour out what you don't have yourself. We assign value to the importance of who we are supposed to be in another person's life. We owe no man nothing but to love him. We are assigned importance to who we are supposed to be in another person's life. When God never, ever, a lot of the stuff we operate in, God never, ever asked us to operate in. He may have asked us to be a willing vessel. He may have asked us to serve. But even when he says serve, Colossians 3:23 says, serve unto the Lord, not as unto man. He was running around with no oil. Running around with no oil. And so every time he shut it down, every time the engine was shut down, he'll just let me park the car. Let me put the car up. So as soon as he went and got the oil change, he's never had another problem. And I'm like, Josiah, this is deep in so many ways. And I truly believe the Lord was protecting you so you would not burn your engine up. What if there have been circumstances and situations where the Lord has been protecting us so that we don't burn our engine up? Come on now. Like, so we don't burn our, we don't burn your engine up. So I went back to Judah and I said, Judah is an amazing athlete. I said, you didn't even get to enjoy practice. You didn't get to enjoy practice because you were so focused on what they were, not that you forgot who you were. You were so focused on what they were not that you forgot who you were. So when we get over to Romans 12, come on, transform us this morning. Get us outside. He said, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that when I say you are in a different season and you need to, that's it. I hear you, Holy Spirit. When I say you're in a different season and I'm saying what you did in last season may not go to this season. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you, not others, not you for others, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. Not for you, for others. We spend so much time trying to get it so we can get to somebody else. But if you ain't got enough oil in you, come on, y'all. Come on now. If you ain't got enough for you, if you ain't got your season and time, if we really understand, even when I show up here, I could not show up here if I ain't know who, y'all would suck me dry if I didn't know who I was, whose I was, and why I'm here. It would suck me dry. The relationships that I have connected to me would suck me dry if I didn't know who I was, why I was in their lives, and the capacity that I was supposed to operate in their lives. I have enough, I have enough oil in me, right, to accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish. But I ain't never trying to take the oil out of me and put the oil on you so that you can accomplish what you need to accomplish.
Come on, Shonda. It's what's on the inside of you that you need, that you have to get. I don't get it for you. I don't manage it for you. Thank you, Lord. My job is to get in position and serve you as unto the Lord. Ooh, that's it. If I take the oil out of me and give you the oil, I ain't got no oil in my stuff either. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. So I'm not being conformed. And I want you, I'm going to give you all this, and we're going to meditate this a little bit more. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He is the one that does the choosing. He is the one that elects. He is the one that comes, calls us out. We are not, you are not, I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care what kind of mentor you think you are, what kind of leader. You are not the person that calls a person out. We give too much grounding to people. You know, they said I was I can't be real for, they said I was a prophet. They said, oh, that's fine. They may be acknowledging what the Lord says, but the Lord is the person that calls you out. The Lord is the person that says, come here. I know what I richly I know what I richly put in you. Now, someone may confirm it. Someone may mentor you. Someone may help groom you. But the Lord is the person that calls you out. And the Lord is the person that calls other people out. Your responsibility is to yourself to get your own mind transformed and renewed. And especially for those of us that are teachers in the gospel. Because even if you pastor, preach, you teach, you whatever, that we have to be very careful. Those of us that feel like we've been called to leadership, we have to be very careful with how we handle ourselves. Handle how we handle others is so important. But we have to be very careful with how we handle ourselves. We've been mishandling ourselves for so long. Woo! It's not only impacted us, but it impacts every relationship we connected to. Because maybe in a different space, but the same version of us keeps showing up. Woo! The same version of us keeps showing. It's the same version of us that keeps showing up. It's the same version of us that keeps showing up. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you open the eyes of our understanding to the hope of who you called us to be in Christ Jesus, the inheritance, the redemption, the possession of your love in this earth. Open our eyes. Give us the capacity to walk, to receive, to do, to know in this season. Do not let us be afraid to release and let go of old thought processes, old ways. We do not want to mishandle our relationship with you. Lord God, we long to experience more of your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray this over you. I was in the bathroom this morning and I need to pray release for your finances. That is what the God was giving me this morning. We are about to experience financial release. Let me define something, because I always ask the Lord, I'm like, what do you mean by something? When we say release, like a freedom in our finances, right? I was praying for a freedom in our finances. I'm praying and asking God to rescue those who need to be financially rescued. I'm thanking the Lord that the things that we are being loose, like prosperity is being loose. It was funny. One of my babies yesterday, she was going through some mail, totally doing something else. And we've been learning how to confess and be all strong. And she's going through some mail, looking through some mail, and she finds this check. Well, earlier that day, she was like, I want to see a miracle, or I want to see a sign. And she finds this check, right? She finds this check. She was not expecting the check. Check was like for $188. It was something she needed. So she opened up the door and the check was there. And I'm just like,
the Lord, the enemy will not even allow you to really ask God. God shall supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. But you won't even ask the Lord, Lord, I need to experience financial release, because people have us so scared to talk to the Lord about finances because it's gone perverse in some ways. And then it's not even kingdom in some other ways. And so we just accept whatever financially, when the Lord is like, no, I want to bring them into a place of financial fortitude. I want to bring them into a place where they operate financially differently. There's a grace for finances on my life. The Lord keeps dealing with me on that. And so that absolutely, Tina, that's it. And so we want to trust God. You cannot operate in kingdom in the body of Christ on just enough. I'm sorry. You'll never be the giver that God called you to be if you have just enough. If you don't learn, if you don't understand the tithe, if you don't understand the giving, you will never be on just enough. And you were created to be more than just enough. You were created to give. You were created to lend and not borrow. You were created to be the head and not the tail. If you go all through Deuteronomy and you look at the blessing of Abraham and you understand how God loves his people and how he longs to supply every need, then your expectation for God to financially invade your affairs will change, and you will begin to ask God. Come on, DeShannon, ask God. DeShannon just said, increase me, Lord, so I can fund kingdom projects, right? So you will be. So the other thing, when he releases, he unbinds. Woo! Come on. He unchains. He unleashes. Woo! He unshackles. Come on now. So anytime we are not released, we're imprisoned. And today the Lord was like, I'm praying. He was like, no, tell them there is a financial release. My God, they are no longer prisoned by things of the past. Even if you made bad financial decisions, today you are going to walk into a financial release. I'm saying this by the a financial release, checks in the mail, bills paid off, debts demolished, sudden increase. Woman of God, her and her spouse were not even expecting this. And 22% raise, who has heard of a 22% raise? It's unheard of. Had no idea. Shifted to a new position, applied for a new position, didn't know what the salary was, and got a 22% increase. And the first thing that came out of her mouth, she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited because we're going to be able to give more. Come on. My God. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for a fresh release, a financial release on every person that's under the sound of my voice today, even those that are connect later, Lord God. Father God, that you are delivering, that you are rescuing, that you are ransoming, that you are emancipating them from debt, that you are releasing them from painful places in the past where they may have mishandled the things that you have given them, Lord God. Thank you for bringing them in new and fresh revelation. Thank you, Lord God, for giving them and teaching them stewardship over their finances. May they be 100% givers and 100% tithers, Lord God. Teach them how to sow where they grow, Lord God. Do not let them be afraid of you being involved in their finances. And if there is anything that they have done that is not like you, that they thought they were saving themselves, please forgive them. If they cheated on their taxes, if they didn't tithe when they were supposed to tithe, if they didn't give when they were supposed to give, Lord God, forgive them and reset them this morning. Woo! My God, let finances be like for, let it be financial fortitude in their life, Lord God. My God, thank you, Lord God, that this is the most prosperous, this second half of the year is the most prosperous year of their life. Oh, my God. Thank you for opening doors, Lord God. Thank you for creative ideas and witty inventions. Thank you for rebates and returns and checks in the mail and bills paid off and debts demolished and royalties received. Lord God, thank you. This is not another day of lack, not another day of poverty, not another day, Lord God, of scarcity. Lord God, take them out of an impoverished and scarcity mindset where they think what they have is only for them, and let them become liberal givers into the work of the God. Let them support businesses and organizations and ministries and nonprofits that give to the poor, that take care of the widow. Come on, Lord God, let them get in kingdom position. Let them not be afraid that they do not have enough. From this point forward, do not let them think
from a place of lack. Destroy negative and old mindsets. Give them the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that they need for their finances in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're somebody who need a reset, you know, if you have squandered, you know what I mean? You know, if you squander, you know, just be honest, if you squander, and you know, if you've not handled the things that the Lord has told you, if you haven't handled them properly financially, you know that. If you ain't paying, that's called include paying your bills every month. Like, and I'm not saying sometimes you don't have to adjust things when it get hard, but you spending money on other stuff, but not handling your business is not good stewardship, right? That's not good stewardship. So if you've been out of alignment, ask the Lord to help you. Lord, forgive me for being out of alignment with your kingdom way of living, because God has called us and asked us to live in excellence in every area. And for some reason, the body of Christ is very tender when it comes to finance. Don't nobody want them, nobody talking about their money and their finances. But God is real, real. God is real, real. God is real, real. And he wants to be involved in every relationship of our life. Now, two things. And that wasn't a setup. Y'all know that. But y'all know who be here. So I ain't going to even say that. Two things. If the Lord places it on your heart to give, to partner this ministry. We got Feed the Streets coming up this month. Why don't you pray and ask God, Lord, give me an extra seed to be able to sow and feed the streets. And you can also donate items. We need chips. We need tuna. We need water. We need cereal bars. We need fruit. You can also donate items as well. But ask the Lord, Lord, let me be a blessing. How can I be an extra blessing this month to feed the streets? That's one thing. Drew Projects, all the other things that we are involved in is listed on our website. We do not just serve the state of Arkansas. We make global impact with partnerships as well. And that goes to your credit and account. So if the Lord asks you to give, go to the website, lmjministries.org. You can find out all the way to give there. And then you can cash app us, $LMJMINSTRY. Do not forget to go get registered for Pillow Talk, the virtual edition, so that you can be with us in San Diego, even though you may not be there. Do not forget to get your copy of 30 Days of Prayer. I promise you, the prayers will change your heart and give you hope for your children, for your grandchildren. I love you so much. God loves you so much more. I promise he does. Do me a favor. Go be loved today. The only way somebody's going to experience God is that you show up on the scene. Go be loved today, right? Go be loved today. And let the love of God just outpour on you to someone else. I'll be back here in the morning, 6 a.m., sipping my coffee. Do me a favor. Sipping my water, sipping whatever it is you give me for that day. But do me a favor. Show back up here. Bring somebody in. Let's continue to commune with one another. I love you so much. Love, peace, and blessings. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you.